I'd like to share with you a little bit from my memory, going back to my childhood. When I was about 10 years old or so, it was summertime, and I was playing around the house, and my father came home from work early. It's kind of unusual. Came home and he came up to me. I was playing in the yard and he said, come on, get your shoes on. Let's go down to the hardware store. Well, of course, I was a 10-year-old kid and I didn't have shoes on, so I had to put my shoes on and we went downtown. This was kind of exciting. I didn't get to spend a lot of time with my father during the day. And this was early, so we were going to the store together. It was really nice. So I had no idea what we were doing. We got down to the hardware store. It was a small town. And they sold bicycles there at the hardware store. And we went in, and my dad took me back to the bicycle section. And he says, well, it's about time you had a new bicycle. He says, go ahead and pick one out. Any one. Well, that was intimidating. He told me I could look over all of the bicycles there, and he told me that I could have any one that I chose. Well, you know what kind of responsibility falls on a 10-year-old? When you have the whole world of bicycles to pick out. You have to look them over. You have to make sure that they fit you well and they're built well so they're going to last for a while. You don't want just something that looks nice and will fall apart in a week. You know, you really have to consider these things, and you have to make sure it's the right choice. Well, that was a long time ago. Over the years, I honestly can't tell you which bicycle I chose. But I did figure out what my father was doing. He was trying to teach me how to use all of the facilities that I have to come to a reasonable decision about things that really matter to me. And a 10-year-old, you know, a bicycle really matters. Well, you know, Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, has given us freedom of choice too. We can choose those things that are good for us, or we can choose those things that are not so good for us. But if you'll turn with me to Exodus 19, we'll start finding out how Yahweh shows us how to make good choices. Exodus 19, starting with verse 1. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day, well, I'll stop there. Sometimes I may refer to Egypt as Mitzrayim, but forgive me if I do. On that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to Elohim, and Yahweh called him to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, Then you shall be my own possessions among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Well, the first six verses of Exodus 19 is what I consider to be Yahweh's offer to us. He's setting the stage and saying, look, I will make you my people. And he sets a condition. And he says, on the condition that you obey my voice and keep the covenant. Then he tells Moses to go and offer that to the children of Israel. In Exodus 19, verse 7. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which Yahweh had commanded him. And the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do, emphatically. And Moses brought back the words of the people to Yahweh. Okay. Yahweh has offered to be the Elohim of the children of Israel. And it's presented to the nation of Israel. And emphatically, they said, yes, we will do that. Well, there's more to it than that. Going on with Exodus 19, verse 9. Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak to you, and may also believe in you forever. Then Moses told the words of the people to Yahweh. Yahweh also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, Yahweh will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the borders of it. Whoever touches the mountain surely shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether beast or man. He shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet Elohim, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke, because Yahweh descended on it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and Elohim answered him with thunder. Yahweh came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and Yahweh called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people so that they do not break through Yahweh to gaze, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near to Yahweh consecrate themselves, or else Yahweh will break out against them. Moses said to Yahweh, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai for you warned us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it. Then Yahweh said to him, go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to Yahweh, or he will break forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. Okay, there's been an offer made. The people emphatically said yes. And now we're getting ready to go to school. These are the preparations for the instructions that Yahweh is going to give to his children. Going on to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Then Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, Yahweh your Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, in vain, for Yahweh will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you. Do not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not Elohim speak to us, or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for Elohim has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you so that you may not sin. So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where Elohim was. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven. You shall not make other gods, other Elohim besides me, Elohims of silver or Elohim of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. You shall make an You shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stone for me, you shall not build it out of cut stones, for if you wield your tool on it, you will profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar so that your nakedness will not be exposed on it." Wow. We've been given an offer. We accepted it. We got ready for school. And Yahweh told us the conditions. He outlined the instructions on how we keep his commandments. It's not enough to obey, but we obey in belief. We believe that Yahweh is who he says he is and do what he says. Not salvation by works, as some would have you say. Rather, these are works. These are things that we do as a result of a loving Yahweh, the author of salvation. We commit to doing things his way rather than doing things our way. Now that we've had the instructions, we've been made the offer, we've accepted it, we've been given instructions, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And see in chapter 6 what Yahweh had in mind when it comes to living life the way it was designed. Starting with verse 1. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which Yahweh your Elohim has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear Yahweh your Elohim, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as a, and they shall be as a frontal on your forehead. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about When Yahweh your Elohim brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourselves, that you do not forget Yahweh who brought you from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. And you shall not follow other Elohim, any of the Elohim of the peoples who surround you. For Yahweh, your Elohim, in the midst of you, is a jealous Elohim. Otherwise, the anger of Yahweh, your Elohim, will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. You shall not put Yahweh your Elohim to the test, as you tested him at Massah. You recall in Massah they were grumbling about not having enough water. You should diligently keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which Yahweh swore to give your fathers, by driving out all your enemies from before you, as Yahweh has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which Yahweh our Elohim commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, Yahweh showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So Yahweh commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear Yahweh our Elohim for our good always, and for our survival as it is today. It will be righteous for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before Yahweh our Elohim, just as he commanded us." So, kind of told that if we keep him foremost in our mind, and foremost in our work, in our thoughts, that we will have a good life, a prosperous life. We will be living life as he designed. Well, let's go on to Deuteronomy 7. Starting with verse 1, we get a little warning here. I mean, there have been occasional warnings throughout the passages that we've read, but we get another warning here. It says, "When Yahweh your Elohim brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, and when Yahweh your Elohim delivers them before you, and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You make no covenant with them, and show them no favor. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other Elohim. Then the anger of Yahweh will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them, you shall tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, hew down their ashram, and burn their graven images with fire. You are a holy people to Yahweh, your Elohim. Yahweh, your Elohim, has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Yahweh did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because Yahweh loved you and kept the oath, which he swore to your forefathers, Yahweh brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that Yahweh, your Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generation with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their face. To destroy them he will not delay, and with him who hates him he will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall not keep the commandments and the statutes. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and statutes and judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. He's serious about this relationship. If you don't intend to do those things that Yahweh has established, it would be better just to choose not to follow him. It would break his heart. It would break Yeshua's heart. It would also bring down the wrath of Yahweh. There are some promises, though, in this relationship. Let's continue reading on in Deuteronomy 7, starting with verse 12. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that Yahweh, your Elohim, will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain, your new wine, and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock, in the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There will be no male or female barren among you, among your cattle. Yahweh will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known, but he will lay them on all who hate you. You shall consume all the peoples whom Yahweh your Elohim will deliver to you. Your eye shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their Elohim, for that would be a snare to you. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what Yahweh your Elohim did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which Yahweh your Elohim brought you out, So shall Yahweh your Elohim do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, Yahweh your Elohim will send the hornets against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for Yahweh your Elohim is in your midst, a great and awesome Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim will clear away these nations before you little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, for the wild beast would grow too numerous for you. But Yahweh your Elohim will deliver them before you and will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. He will deliver their kings into your hand so that you will make their name perish from under heaven. No man will be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. The graven images of their Elohim you are to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, or you will be snared by it, for it is an abomination to Yahweh your Elohim. You shall not bring an abomination into your house and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. This was the original offer made to the children of Israel. Emphatically, they said yes. They were given very specific instructions on how to live up to the covenant. And history and scripture has told us that we've broken it time and time again. A loving Yahweh, our loving Elohim, has found it in his wisdom and his long suffering to provide us a way through his son Yahshua to come and provide a path back to the world as it was intended from the beginning, back to the original covenant, so that we can come back and agree to live according to the conditions, to choose life within the conditions that Yahweh has set. Or we can choose not to. We're given great abilities to process thought and reason. We can understand the covenant conditions that we make when we enter into a relationship with Yahweh. Yahweh has told us how to have a peaceful and prosperous life. But you see, it's all a matter of choice. Because Yahweh doesn't want to force us into this life. He wants us to come to this life freely. And it is a matter of choice and the motives that guide our choices. So choose wisely.